Hello everyone, welcome to Airsoft and Chill. You're joined by Sketch.
Hello.
Paladin.
And today is a special episode because we have a guest. We've got Jake, also known as...
The Goon Club.
And your call sign?
Call sign Ewok.
Okay, so we're going to be interviewing Jake today about anything and everything, so there is no holes barred.
Yeah, that's cool.
So there's going to be lots and lots of... Question, there's going to be about two questions. Exactly.
There was a rather large list. And then Kai sent it through for approval and we scratched so many of the questions. Yeah. It's like, you can't ask him that. You can't ask him that.
Some of them are inappropriate.
Yeah, exactly. Most of them are inappropriate, Kai.
So let's get into it. So when did you start Airsoft? And why did you start Airsoft?
Oh, okay. So I started Airsoft 2018. It was just through like watching videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I literally, like, one of the lads that I work with, I said, like, should we go and have a look and see what it's all about? And then we accidentally booked onto a 24-hour milsim with Cryptac at Copal Down for my first ever game of Airsoft.
Bloody hell.
So I literally booked on and thought, yeah, this will be cool, not knowing what it was. Bought all my kit and then, yeah, turned up and had a mint time.
Yeah.
Like, for anyone that's like looking to get into Airsoft and that, it's probably like one of the weirdest ways to get into it because it's like the deep end, but wouldn't have it any other way. It just made Airsoft so much more different to what other people's perspective of Airsoft will be.
Yeah.
Because I never had, like, jumping on a Sunday game and, like, dealing with the stuff at a Sunday game kind of thing. I went straight to a game where everyone was, like, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
They were all there with kit and trucks and, yeah, it was mental.
So the amateur level was just gone. Basically.
Yeah, never.
You were the amateur.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, like never ran a high cap in a gun. Like it was just straight away mid caps, just for the game. But yeah, I met some cool people. I met Nick Rogers.
Yeah.
I
like Nick.
And Matt Brenner. Bennett. Matt Bennett. He's always Nick.
Yeah.
I met. The rest of the OAB lot, there was Jack and Pete, but yeah, they literally like took me and my mate under their wings, taught us what hop ups were because like our guns weren't even shooting straight, and they were like, right, come here, we'll sort you out, and then yeah, just been playing ever since then, a lot up country, and then yeah, moved down here then so.
So with that then, so you cut your teeth into milsim. Would you say you prefer milsim events over skirmishes and stuff like that? Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
I think there's rather stylish helmet setup we've got in front of us answering that question, Kai.
Yeah. So when did you get your Tesco nods?
So these, I've only had these for probably about a month now.
Yeah.
My first like actual set of nods were the Jerry 31s.
Okay.
That Tactical Waffles were selling. I had them for a bit, and then I started learning the whole people without nods will die to people with nods.
Yeah.
And then people with nods will die to people with thermal.
Yeah.
So I was like, right then, like if I'm gonna do this, I need thermal as well. So that's how this setup become what it is. So so there's a PBS 14 and then there's the MH25 thermal.
Yeah.
It's cheating on like the biggest level of cheating that you could possibly have.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, it really is. A lot of people don't like it because thermal's for spotting, not navigating. But if you can get your mind and your eyes used to running both at the same time, it's such a lethal thing to have. because you can hide from night vision.
Yeah.
Like certain camos, like distances, staying still is a massive one.
Yeah.
There's just no hiding from thermal. No. Unless you're gonna strip down and just cover yourself in dirt. Like, but
which I often do. I'm like Arnie, yeah, Predator, just like that, smearing myself.
Saying to these boys, I was up at the shooting show a couple of weeks ago, and some of the kit they're coming out with now, like I think it was Hip Vision, a trial in night vision with thermal overlay,
yes,
all in one unit. Yeah. And when that becomes, because at the moment, obviously, they were there for the hunters and the shooters and stuff like that,
yeah,
which I looked through some of that kit and I was just like, this is within the realms of a lot of people's budgets now. Yeah, I mean, some of these units are coming in at sub $2,000 for this kind of stuff, which...
This is the thing, is I see your British Air and I raise you IWA 2820.
You're going to be screwed when I go to SHOT Show. You can't trump that.
Oh, I will trump it.
You're going to come with me.
Yeah. And then we're like, when we
went to SHOT Show.
It's popularity, and I think it's airsoft making it popular.
Yeah.
I think it's also obviously the US market and things like that. But there was a couple of like thermal optics and night vision and stuff like that stands at IWA. But it was fun. They were giving out Star Wars stickers with night vision and Deadpool stickers and stuff like that. And they're tackling now that market, and they want to bring prices down. And it is, as you say, it's becoming more and more available. More and people want to buy it. So, whereas the price was up here last year, it's now slowly coming down, and I reckon by next year.
Do you think 5 years ago, you're just talking about your digital binocular?
Yeah.
That would have still been £500-600. You can pick those up now for sub £200.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If not less, I mean, yours probably selling for what, £120?
Yeah, new. When I was looking, I did find one though that was £5,500.
It's not that one.
It was the same model with the Zero Redeur, but it was just one of them Chancer Alley special shots. That's a BB swarm. But yeah, it's one of them because of the popularity, and it's a trending thing. I think we touched on it on one of our episodes where I was on the fence about it. I was like, I got it, but I didn't get it. Now that I've had a go, and now obviously you've just seen more and more popularity, and I see now the different aspect of the likes of yourself using it, you're obviously using it for your business and stuff like that. It's now that social media influence that is making it readily available for people, making it cheaper for people, so people can enjoy it.
Yeah.
So the stigma of it's just a bunch of pretentious Muppets wandering around supermarkets, I think it's going.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be gone very, very soon. And I think a lot of it stems, I think I said before, it's jealousy.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
I will keep ripping people down because it's funny and I just like to do that as well. But it's, again, at the end of the day, it's something that's now going to be quite popular when it's accessible to everyone.
Yeah.
And then everyone will have it, and it's just it just brings a different aspect to games, I think.
It'll definitely be a lot better when people start understanding more about it.
Yeah.
To like turn up to day games and have people moan because I've got night vision on my helmet, and it's like, well, the name's in the title.
Yeah.
And this is a day game. I'm clearly not using them.
No.
And if I am, all I'm doing is making it beneficial for you because I'm gonna struggle.
Yeah.
Thing is, though, people need to realise if you're gonna run your helmet set up the way that you are, you need to run that with nods on all the time.
Yeah,
so your body physically is used to carrying that around on your head.
That's it.
Otherwise, you're essentially running two very different setups, like using two completely different guns every time you go out.
Yeah. And it's all about training when you gear.
Yeah.
Essentially what we're doing. And the other aspect, if you look at it from the fun aspect, again, we're cosplaying.
Yeah.
We're cosplaying what we want to be, and okay, people are going to rip you down for it, but then people will rip you down for what gun you've got, what clothing you wear, what rig you've got. So it's just till the next big thing comes out, and then that will be it. People will go on to that thing. It'll be like, I don't know, space shoes or something.
For example. No, man, next big thing is going to be people running fucking skate shoes, white skate shoes.
That's a BB.
That's a BB. You were the first one, though.
Yeah, see, I've got...
Gents, I hate to ruin your flow. Can everyone check they are on aeroplane mode? Occasionally, I'm getting a spike.
I am on aeroplane mode.
Sure.
I
Yeah. Would you like to witness?
No, I don't need to.
I trust you.
I don't trust
I
you.
I don't trust you.
It may have been Jake, but none of us told him. So
that's on you.
That's on the producer. Yeah, you're the production side. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I mean, it's just, there's always going to be a stigma to something, isn't there, really? There's always a stigma to trans. I bet that once upon a time, there was a stigma to people rocking up not in camo.
Yeah.
There's a stigma of people rocking up in camo, like MTV, because it's disgusting.
The biggest thing is, and I mean, I know we're all quite good at it, and clearly you're pretty good at it as well, is just not caring what other people have got to say about
you. Yeah.
You're there for yourself. Ultimately, at the end of the day, you go to airsoft, you're there for yourself more than anything else. Whether it's to go and play toy soldiers or whether it's to go and have a social, you're doing it for your own benefit. Yeah. So,
but again, like the outside collective, whether your little circle team or whatever, your little clique, they're going to think it's cool as shit.
Yeah.
That's a BB. But outside of that, again, it's, as you say, you shouldn't really care because, again, you're never going to please everyone. And why should you?
That's it. It brings a different aspect to airsoft. You can do a lot more.
Yeah.
It's not the cheapest thing, but once you've got them, you've got them.
And you're going to want to use them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You've put X amount of money into that. Why shouldn't you show off?
Me and Bex, like, we'll go wandering around on night time, tell the baby out.
My mind went somewhere else.
But yeah, like, we'll just go wandering off, go for walks. Like, me and the lads will meet up, we'll do the same, just wander off, go for walks. It's a bit weird because you're walking around in the dark and no one else really knows you're there. But, like, I've spent what money and I can see everything.
You're hiding in the trees, just staring at people on your own, like, his bin's out the wrong day.
But again, just going out for a wander with your nods on, it's twofold. That's still training.
Yeah.
Because you're using them and physically using them.
Yeah.
It's not like you're just going out looking for them and going, this is cool, let's take some pictures. You're going out and you're walking for an hour, wearing your nods. Because, I mean, look, everybody knows that depth perception gets thrown off with them, and there are a lot of drawbacks to having them and only using those. So if you're going out and you're walking with the missus and for an hour, then clearly something's working.
Yeah, it's all training, isn't it?
I was going to say, do you think, again, it's because we're this side of the pond? In America, I don't think they'd bat an eyelid, would they?
No, it seems more... like a phone over there, isn't it? Everyone's sort of got them. They're easily accessible over there.
I'd say ex-military ones over there aren't expensive. Yeah. They're really not.
See, like, our biggest thing is, like, you can't get them shipped over here.
Yeah.
Also, I think there'd be a lot more shipped over here. Like, the
gear.
Yeah. Because, like, which is mental, because even the camera is just a video of what you're seeing through your night vision, so you can make your Gucci videos. You can't import them either because they're rated as well. And it's obviously...
Yeah.
It's classed as a component part, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, it's becoming definitely one of them things that you can... It's definitely becoming one of them things that are more financial to people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the ones that... Waffle sells. So you've got the PVS 14 version, which I think is like £2,500.
Yeah.
Which, like, sounds a lot to people that don't really know what they're looking at, but it's really not.
No, it's not.
And then he does a dual setup, which is £3,600.
Yeah.
Which, like, for jewels is the cheapest you'll find jewels unless they've got a blemish in them. Like, and you're not really seeing much.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at like £7,000-£8,000 up for jewels. Which that's what I had to start with, and then obviously I swapped over to.
Yeah. So it, as you say, there is people out there that are making them available because again, it's. I wouldn't even say he's trying to corner a market here. I think he's trying to help a market.
Yeah.
Of waffles.
Yeah.
And he's providing a product which he knows is good, has been tried and tested. He's making it easily available to people.
Yes. For,
I mean, some, like you said, some people may say it's expensive, but those that actually know realise that actually that's a fair price for what for what he's selling.
Yeah.
So you're quite right in what you say.
Yeah, he's making a reasonable market, and he's not here to exploit people.
No.
So going off the back of that, have you used any of the actual rifle mounted stuff?
I haven't. No. I've seen videos of is it the Hollison's new site that's coming out?
The overlay on it.
Yeah, I've seen that, and that's tempting because you just don't need anything.
No. And you can run that during the day.
Yeah.
They've just updated that, haven't they?
Yeah.
I didn't see it this year, at this year's IWA. I did see it at last year's IWA.
That's kind of, for me, is I think that's my halfway point.
Yeah.
So I don't have to care, because I cannot stand wearing a helmet. I will literally rock up to outside so jeans, hoodie. I look like the typical rental. Okay. So something rifle mounted for me would be.
That Horizon, though, is not expensive, is it? It's like $600 or something.
Yeah, it's not massively. Well, yeah. I think the outgoing model has dropped to about $600 to $700. That new one is just shy of $2,000.
So remember, it came out last year and everyone went mental. Like, they were literally laying into Holosun. Like, literally laying into it. Why do you want to buy this crap and all this and all that? And I was just like, that is that cool as anything. I don't hear that.
Yeah, the thing is, though, like, people spend thousands of pounds on like the Vortex stuff. Where now you can buy something that's roughly the same price that gives you the capability to play night games.
Yeah. I'll just wait till AliExpress gets a fake one.
Oh, dear Lord. Turn out an empty plastic box. With two carrots inside it.
Yeah. They're called Hermals.
No, I think that'll be my step into thermal will be, because Josh at Airsmiths had one. It looked like an EOTech.
Yes.
And it just sat on top of the gun, and it was good enough to the point where I kind of looked at it and I said to him, how good is it? And he was like, well, take your shoes off and stand there a minute. So I took my shoes and stood there, and he went, right, now step back and try and scope that. And you could see the heat imprints from my feet on the floor, and I was like, okay, so it works then. It clearly, you know, if it can see heat, residual feet heat, then
But again, that would just keep getting cheaper and cheaper.
I mean, I think they were about £1,000. Well, not, but this was a few years ago, right? So they've probably dropped in price now.
Yeah, thermals are a lot cheaper than what people think.
But what I see with this is, I think there's more potential for site owners to open up at night.
Because
there's not many night games really that happen. And I just think it's just one of them. It's just when they start getting readily available and cheaper, people are going to scream for night games. So again, it's providing business back into the community. And if Waffles and other people are making it cheaper, it's just going to be, it's just a good path. Basically.
Yeah, that's it. And with digital catching up as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of digitals out there now that don't necessarily need to run off IR light.
Yeah.
So it evens the playing field out for people that have got genuine night vision.
Yeah.
Because you're fighting against someone.
It's always been the biggest giveaway, isn't it?
Yeah.
Genuine night.
Yeah, because it's like, it's like these lights. Yeah, you see them walking around. And it's,
I used to make, back when I did a lot of air rifle shooting, and at night I couldn't afford, at the time, I mean, PARD weren't even a thing then.
Yeah.
So I couldn't afford night vision. And the night vision that was available for rifles was so big and bulky, it weighed like four times as much as the air rifle did.
Yeah.
But somebody very quickly realised if they got a Sony CCTV camera, took the IR filter off of it, put it in a piece of tube and stuck it behind the scope, and then wired it to a small reversing camera, they had weapon mounted.
Oh, no.
And they were like, it cost about £150 to build it. So it was just a much bigger version of what you've got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So running that, shooting rabbits at night was perfect, but now for the same money I could go out and buy something like you've got and just dump it straight on there.
It's for sale.
But
it has a rifle now.
No, you're good.
What's wrong with it?
Good.
You wanted that once upon a time.
No, I only wanted it just to spur you into buying it, so I didn't have to sit there looking at it all the time. I was doing Andy a favour, really. rest of your kit, what else? Go through the rest of your kit, because you, to be fair, when you put pictures up and you guys are all kitted up,
yeah, you do look, I get a lot of slate for my kit. So once upon a time, I absolutely hated Morty Cumbler, because I was one of the strong believers of, like, it's not a proper camo. And then,
you're thinking of Tiger Strike.
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, it sort of clicked, and I was like, I like Morty Cumbler. So I sold all my Ranger Green kit and bought all my kit in Morty Cumbler. So,
okay.
It's bad, isn't it? So, yeah, so I've got a Pro Concepts FCPC 5, V5. I don't run a bulk kit anymore. It just seems to be better for me because it's less stress on my hips.
Your childbearing hips.
Yeah, that's it. It's like playing at a lot of like hilly sites and wearing it for more than your standard like 8 hours a day. It's just too much. It wears too much. It don't matter how comfy you get after that time.
Starts,
you don't need it.
Starts pressing and putting pressure on
places. Yeah, that's it. So I had a custom panel made that's like a dangler.
Yeah.
But it's just like a Kydex panel that I've got a pistol holster on it. So my pistol is now mounted underneath where my M4 mag sits. That's quite smart. So yeah, there's that. No belt kit. Don't really run camo anymore. It's like plain coloured trousers. I've gone back to running like old field shirts because it's so much cheaper than buying U-backs. So unless like you're buying rare camos.
Yeah. The thing with U-backs, if you're buying a new U-back, like a not sort of branded one, is 30, 40 quid. Yeah. If you're buying a second-hand military one, a surplus one, it's roughly about the same sort of price. Yeah. Or if you want to buy something that's kind of current and genuine, it's you like 200 plus for like Cry Precision or something like Nor Arm or something. Yeah.
But I do own a Cry Precision top, but that's because I got it off eBay for 23 quid because someone had Hero cut the sleeves. And I was like, oh, that's cool anyway, I like that.
Yeah,
23 quid, sorted. Wow. But I'd never buy it at the price that it is brand new.
No, I would never buy something expensive for the price of what it is.
But I've gone the same with my guns now. So I don't run TM anymore. My like fancy in TM, like everyone else did, is like well gone now.
Do you think part of that though is because there's an awful lot of other manufacturers producing good quality gear for less money?
Yeah, and another major thing was there's not a lot that you can do with recoils. No. Like you're limited on what stocks you can run. Like I love customizing guns, and you're very like limited with that with TM. And to be fair, you can buy a lot cheaper gun, and people are like me for this, but it is what it is. You can buy a lot cheaper gun, put like 100 quid into it, and it's gonna perform the same as a TM.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you don't get the cool little vibration thing, but when you look past that,
we've said it many a times, haven't we? It's you spend X amount on a TM, it's usually plus 400 quid, and you're gutting it anyway.
Yeah.
So why not do it to something cheaper? I think it, again, it's a rite of passage. Don't get me wrong, I don't hate TM. I probably still continue to get them here and there. But yeah, like you say, you can have just as much fun.
Yeah.
You can do what you want to do and probably that little bit more with a cheaper gun.
Yeah.
So.
Which is very controversial, because then I went and bought an MCX and then ripped everything out of that and changed it because the internals are rubbish. but that's an M4 that don't look like an M4, so it was like I needed that.
Yeah.
The Aries Mutant is kind of a halfway pouch to that.
Yes, literally. When I had that, it was like I bought that because I was like, it's an MCX, and then obviously I bust it. sold it to you.
Yeah. I repaired it, sold it to somebody else, and the second game in, all gear shit himself. I was like, you poor bastard.
And then, yeah. It's just bad. I see. I don't watch airsoft videos anymore. They bore me. I watch a lot of real steel stuff. Yeah. Just because how I set my guns up and stuff like that, I do it how it should be done.
Yeah.
Not like M4s with sniper scopes on them and like I hate that stuff. But yeah, so I started watching a company called Dirty Kid.
Yeah. Oh, that's matey from, is that Micah? From
Micah's good mates with them. But it's a lad called Blake and Dustin.
Yeah.
But I started watching them and watched them like running and gunning with the Spear LT. And I was like, right, I need an MCX and I'm gonna swap all the parts out and make it a Spear. So yeah, that's what I've done. And best thing ever.
But you need to get yourself on the plane and go to America and shoot one. They are fucking awesome.
Yeah, I wish I could.
It's another BB.
It's 3-6 spot. It's getting bigger.
They're generic swear words I'm using. I'm not dropping any C-bombs or anything like that. We're good.
I mean, that's a whole bottle if you drop a C-bomb.
I've got one in the car. It's cool. I'm going to slide it in there right at the very end. Come on!
But yeah, like, I've got a Spectre Arms M4. Mark 18.
Nothing wrong with that.
The Edge 2.0, because don't buy the core systems, they're not worth it.
No, they're not.
And then, yeah, I've got a spare upper for that that's a Ergy build out. I just run cheap guns now, just build them out. I'd rather do that, I can do a lot more with them. Like my AK, I took an axle to it and just cut the barrel down. So it went from a 47 to the 105. Just locked the end off it. Done a lot of things to that gun that probably make people sick, but
it's your gun at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's it. It was like
gun.
It was an 100 quid gun and it was like, well, I'm just gonna cut it up and make it into something else.
Yeah, just like a good old beater gun.
Well, like, yeah, I'm never gonna do that with a TM because it's like 600 quid gun. I'm not gonna cut the barrel down.
I bought my first recoil sort of last year. It was when was it, October I bought it roughly, wasn't it, I think. I bought it from another shop.
Your 416.
Yeah. I've got the tan. Multiple shades of tan.
50 shades of tan.
And as good as that, I mean, I pulled everything apart on it. I put a Jeftron in there. I did everything to it.
Yeah, the name's Jeff.
And as good as it is, it is essentially just a CQB gun. Yeah. On the field, when I'm getting absolutely pantsed by people running Specners, it's like
I thought your 416 has got good range.
It has got good range, but the thing with it is I set it to, I built it so it ran about a joule, didn't I? That's kind of where I went with it, and it was built to run 2s and 2.5s. That's kind of how I set it up. And
hello.
Hello. And it's good, like I say, as good as it is, one, it is bloody heavy.
It
is a really heavy gun.
I had it for about 20 minutes marshalling, so
it is a massively heavy gun. Running it at JBG the other week, my shoulder muscles were killing by the end of the day.
Yeah, but do you not think that's just because we were basically said that you literally have to have everything up all the time?
Yeah, but I know for a fact if I'd been running in the vest,
it
wouldn't have been a problem.
I ran that, and by the end of it, my shoulders were killing me, and I only ran it for like 20. 10 minutes, good season.
I think TMs are good to a point. There's good points about them. I mean, the build quality, like the rails and the receivers, they are good. £400-500 more than equivalent guns, which are going to outperform them? I'm there with you on that, to be honest with you. I know it's controversial and I do like a TM, but
they were cool. I just own too many.
Everybody else is up the game.
Yeah.
This is the thing. It's you've got the likes of SEMA coming out with their own licensed Yeah, Nevesky and Daniel Defence.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Daniel Defence are licensing themselves to everyone.
Oh, yeah, they're just, yeah, they're just being a brand whore. And they're just like, oh, we'll just put our name here. And so on the back of that, you've obviously had an array of many platforms. What would you say was the one you regret getting rid of?
My Recall Scar H.
Oh, interesting.
That came out of left field. I wouldn't expect that.
But to be fair, it hasn't left that much of a hole because Double Eagle do one with the PTS rail with it already, which I will be buying because as soon as I seen it, I was like, I'll fill the gap again.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just not an M4. But it was one of them guns that looked nice. It was a recoil, but to be fair, if it wasn't a recoil, I think it'd still be one of them guns where it was like, wish I never got rid of it.
It's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a standout gun.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't miss my MWS because I've got the Nevesky.
Yeah.
Who
hasn't a Nevesky?
Well,
I've got one at home. good price.
I already owe you enough money.
my friend. Special price. At the price. Other supermarkets are available.
But yeah, like, I'll stand by them guns. If you look after them, they're no different to MWS's. Like, I've had no issue with mine.
Build quality seems to be there, but
yeah. I've seen one where it like where it broke on the upper receiver, but I think it got dropped, which
that sounds more
no
like
matter
that.
What you drop. So you know where you connect and you push the pin through on the upper? That had snaps clean off. So to me it looks like he's dropped it
or fell on it.
And then just it just got whacked in a picture got whacked in the MWS group chat on WhatsApp, and everyone was like, yeah, told you they were like rubbish. And
the purists out there.
I think that's the group chat that I'm on, so I'm pretty sure I saw that there. And the Nevesky now has earned a nickname on there of the Pavesky. And it really annoys me when I say it's funny, but it's like the thing is, they're doing what Tokyo and Marui have done, but fraction of the price,
and a little bit better,
and they look so much better.
I mean, the internals are better materials,
you got more steel parts in the trigger group. It's just, you know,
I have a dent in mine.
I was about to say,
I have a dent.
We were saying this, and Kai's got a dent in the rail.
I've got in the rail, so it's a BB dent. So on the top part, where obviously like the M lock splits in two, and you've got the thinner little piece, I have a small dent. And you could, where I was like taking off the tape because I taped up my pressure switch, and I was like, as if someone's dented that with a BB. I was both annoyed and impressed at the same time. So I was like, how? Because I'm like trying to push it, thinking I can't even push it with my thumb. So there's enough force, but it's on the inside as well. So that must be the only thing I can think of is either I've been clipped from that way or it was my own team. I've only run it once.
Well, like touch wood, I haven't got anything like that before. Yeah. I don't know if I don't.
But I was like, how has this happened? So the mysteries.
It's just you, Kyle.
Yeah.
It's literally
and
just
the thing is, you can't change the rails on them unless you're going to put another Nevesky one on it.
Yeah.
It just won't look right. No. The upper is built for that rail. But saying that, It's not gas, it's another AEG, but there is a 13.7-inch Nevesky just gone up for sale on patrol base.
Yeah, it's the SEMA one, isn't it?
It might, SEMA. EMG,
Yeah.
Which do look really good, to be fair. They're all MOSFETed up and high speed built, and I keep looking at them being like, I don't need it, but...
They've got the limited run colour. I don't know when that's coming out, but it's like the Nevesky trademark green.
Yeah, they've got that on there.
Oh, it's hideous. Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'd own it just because I haven't got a green card.
I think within the next 12 months, Double Eagle are going to announce that they're going to start doing a whole different host of M4s and start running that MWS system. Because I think we're going to hear more details. Because I was looking and there has been rumours since before Christmas. Obviously, Y Time sells just within the universe, going to be announced. Mm. And the statements that have come from Double Eagle have basically said, just wait a second because there's more stuff coming. We just did this at first.
There's more.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see.
Now,
if they, to be fair, if they start knocking out a wider range of M4 based recoils or gas blowbacks,
it's STM done.
Yeah, that's TM.
So. Yeah, especially if they start smashing out more Noveskis as well.
Yeah.
But like the people that know real steel, like that's the only reason why I bought it, because it was Noveski and like the company themselves, like the videos they put out, the guns that they put out, brilliant. And as soon as I seen that they were bringing out that gas Noveski, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna buy one.
Yeah.
Although everyone else will look at it and be like, it's an M4. To me, like, I know what that company is.
It's SEAL Team 6 one, didn't they?
Yeah, they do now. Yeah.
Do you know the one thing I did actually like with Double E? Because obviously everyone went out and bought, because they quietly come on the market like March, April time last year. And no one really realised what it was at the time.
Yeah.
And then sort of when I went off out to the States, I remember chatting with you over Messenger and I see you post yours up and I was like, I'm going to order one when I get back.
Yeah.
They'd sold out.
Yeah.
And I really did expect Double Eagle to ramp up the retail price on it. And then when they did finally come back in stock in February, it got up by like £8.
Yeah.
It was like, wow, that's...
But it's... So you obviously had yours, and then... So you've got the silver bowl, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And then they've listened to people's improvements and stuff, because you've got like a mil gap, haven't you, from the end bolt to...
Yeah, so I've seen a lot of stuff about that. So I've seen that it was a mistake, but then I also seen that it was made like that because the gun's 308, not 5.56. I was like, well, looking through it, like, I don't know what's what. Because
it is now. So on like our models, it's now black, and they've now tapered it off, so it looks so it's supposed to look like there is now a gap. Yeah. So whereas yours is just cut like that, ours is now tapered off.
Yeah, because you can see the nozzle and that on mine. Okay, that's cool. At least they're improving it.
I did try to speak to them, but it was a language barrier to say the least. So it was like left at that, because I was basically trying to say, your mags are awful, sort out your mags. And it just didn't go. They're like, oh, good gun, yeah. Like,
gun? Good. Mag?
Yeah, that's the only downside of them, but MWS mags.
So much more different.
Yeah.
I currently have about £1,000 worth of MWS mags, so it's ridiculous.
I remember my first brag.
it's not even the fact that it's a brag, it was just the fact that the supplier I got them from was like, you're the second biggest buyer of MWS mags in the UK at the moment. I was like, sweet.
Because there's about 10 in the country.
Let old me drive in Cornwall. Like,
that's all.
He's like, you bought a third of what came in. Thank you very much.
So on the back of that, you're basically left a hole in your heart gun. What is your grail gun? So your ultimate, it could be real steel that you can essentially convert into airsoft. So it could be anything. So if it's something you've always dreamed of and you know it's not airsoft, throw it onto the table.
Well, I don't know.
Could be more than one.
It's to be fair, it's already airsoft. It's the MMP9.
Okay.
Like, I'd love one of them.
Well, check under your seat, Jay.
I wish.
I hope for you.
Either one of them or the old school Stoner. Every time I've had the money for the 69 Stoner. There's never been one up for sale. And then I've got a very bad thing of not just buying a gun. I'll buy a gun and then buy everything to kit out. So the first time I run that gun, it's how I want it to be. And every time I've bought a gun and kid out, a stoner's come up for sale, and it's like, I had that money.
You'd have to double pot it.
But yeah, well, yeah, that's it. But yeah, they're getting harder to come by because they don't make them anymore. And Sterling Airsoft keep buying them all because they're single on full auto LMGs, so it's a nightmare. But I'll get one in the end. When that happens, I'll probably be too old to play Airsoft. But yeah, M&P9, I'd love one of them. I think it's just one of them guns that I'd have and it wouldn't get used though, because I couldn't see myself using it. They just look cool.
Nice shelf gun.
Yeah. That or a Mac 10.
Ooh. Ooh. Haven't you got one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it gas?
Yeah.
The KWA one.
No, I think mine is the KW. I bought it non-working. Someone said to me, "Oh, don't work it, don't work." And have you ever seen the inside of one of them?
No.
It's basically when you take the top off, the bolt assembly and everything, where it screws on at the back, it's in a plastic housing. What generally happens is, obviously, because there's such a high rate of fire, it breaks the plastic on the housing, so the screws start to come loose. Everything just goes dead sloppy, and then BBs get jammed in there. And luckily, this one hadn't broken, but what happened is it just had come undone, and a BB had wandered up and jammed itself up one side of the nozzle, but you couldn't see it until you took it apart. So I kind of pinged it out. I think I only paid like 20 quid for it, because I knew the mags were probably worth 25 quid.
Yeah, it is.
It's good, but it's just not...
It's not worth...
It's not reliable enough to scratch.
Offering 50 quid. And that stone will come up for sale.
That's it. But yeah, I don't think there's anything real steel that I've seen at the minute that I've been like, if that was airsoft, I'd have it. Or even if it weren't airsoft and you could have real firearms over it, I'd have it. Oh. I don't think there's anything that's popped up. Because you can get most of it. Like, I'd love a Sten and just modernise a Sten.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, if I bought everything I wanted, I wouldn't have an house and I'd be broke.
Yeah, it does get like that.
Yeah.
You have to start your own airsoft company, mate, and let that pay for it. That's what I had to do.
Oh yeah, that's it. That's it.
So that ties in quite nicely. What a setup that was. You pitched
that
it.
That was, wasn't it?
Pitched that really. Been thinking about that all day.
Yeah.
Plug for me, plug for you. Job done.
See you later. So, you started your own company.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
So, tell us all about the company. Tell us why you started this company up.
Okay.
What it's called. And go from there.
Yeah. So, my company's called The Goon Club. At the moment, I am just a clothing company.
Yeah.
It won't stay just a clothing company. There is plans in the future to sell other stuff. It all sort of ties in with like night vision stuff.
Yeah.
So we've got plans on like flared magwells for gas M4s, which ties in quite nice because although that's disgusting.
We'll get a picture of that. Yeah. Pulls on it.
Under nods, it works because you find the magwell a lot easier.
Yeah.
But yeah, so at the minute, we are just a clothing company. We started just before my daughter was born. So that was the start of September. I think I started the business like a week before she was born. So I was like, if I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it now. I've always had ideas of like.
It's almost microwave.
It's chicken tikkas, really.
always been the kind of person to sit there and be like, how can I make money?
Stop it.
Carry on.
Yeah, so I've always been that kind of person that's always thought how I could make money. I hate working for the man. Does my head in. Like, getting up every day to go and work for someone else is just not, everyone has to do it, but it's just not what I want to do. And yeah, like my main reason to push it was having my daughter, and it's not cheap.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, kids aren't cheap. Need something. But yeah, so we started in September. At the minute, we just did like the t-shirts, hoodies. Our latest drop, we've done the flannel shirts.
Yeah.
Which are really cool.
Yeah, I like them.
We are currently going through like a big design change.
Yeah.
We're trying to find our feet different to what everyone else is doing. So like our canine unit drop has been like our best seller. Everyone seems to love a skeleton with knobs on and stuff. But everyone's doing it. So we're just in the process of trying to find out what we could do that people will still buy that's different from everyone else.
So you're trying to find your own niche rather than it. Sort of do your own variation of a trend.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I don't... In my head, why would they buy my stuff that's similar to someone else that's got more follows?
So rather than following the trend, you want to start one.
Yeah.
Mate, that makes perfect business sense. And like, it really does.
Airsoft is the worst thing for people just following trends.
Mm.
Like, if someone's got more followers than you, they're going to support them more than what they will you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we try and keep our prices fair, with like paying the artists that do my designs for me and stuff like that. So I seem to think that our prices are pretty fair for people. Well, not asking prices, I've seen a lot worse of pricing on a lot worse of product. I didn't start the company just purely to make money. Mm. There's a massive thing for me, like, to make products that other people think is cool, just like, not just me.
Yeah.
Turning up to like an airsoft day just to chat to people, and you see people wearing your stuff, it's so cool.
Yeah.
There is gonna be quite a big change. So like there'll be the design change. When I first started, my designs were retro mascot style, which I think we're gonna revert back to.
Yeah.
Just because I haven't seen anybody do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It'll still be like kit guns, but just a little less serious and a bit more cartoony.
Yeah.
Because that's me in a person, really. Like, I don't take anything too serious. Like, I run around dressed like a toy soldier. Why should everything be serious? But yeah, there's not a lot more than that, to be fair.
I like the idea of the flannels when you did those.
Yeah,
I've seen a couple of people do it, but they didn't really. It's never really been sort of done the way that you guys did it, and I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because flannel as well, it's, you know, there's an awful lot of people that if they don't want to dress up in camo, will go PMC style over that. And flannel for that is.
Well, I've thrown an idea, but I'm not going to say it just in case you do it.
Royalties.
I texted him the other day about it, and I don't obviously want to say it out loud for the listeners, because it could be a tune into Goon Club type thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you after the show.
But yeah.
So I've also got another idea that's just popped into my head.
But yeah, then the flannel shirts were a nice step away from just doing t-shirts and hoodies. Yeah. Because I'm going to be cancelling out hoodies, so I won't be doing hoodies anymore. Just because I don't like how they look.
Problem I find with hoodies, like with this one, because you've got the hood, if you want something on the back, the design has to sit so low for it to be seen with the hood down, it doesn't look right.
Yeah, someone's walking around with their hood up, but I got a couple of photos the other day with the hood up for it so you could see it. When I seen the photo, I was like, yeah, I don't like that.
Means everyone's got to walk around with a hood up.
Yeah,
and it's...
But like we do jumpers, which are really cool. But yeah, them flannel shirts were just a step away from being the same as everyone else.
Good job.
We're looking at doing like raincoats, like anorak,
like soft shells.
Yeah.
So
I did have a sample come through, but the supply was awful. But it turned up and like the print looked burnt into the material. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to be selling that to nobody. But yeah, it's just a side hustle. Like I still work like everyone else.
Yeah.
It's just there to make a little bit of money on the side to help out in life, because obviously nothing's cheap.
No. Unless you've got, I mean, I've found this myself, unless you've got a big chunk of money, nothing happens overnight.
Yeah, that's it.
You have to build it. It has to be baby steps and trialing within the market to see what's going to sell, what's not going to sell. And that sounds very much like what you've done, is you've pushed a few things out, you've seen what sells, you've then found your own rhythm of what you want to do.
Yeah.
Which I think every successful business has to do that. Otherwise, it's a flash in the pan.
Exactly. And it's the thing, isn't it? You don't know until you try it.
Correct.
If it doesn't work, it's why put your time, money and effort into that when you could just be doing it on something that does work?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just this... It's just one of them, isn't it? It's just always going to be trial and error. So
that's it. And like, I never, when I first started out, so I lost money because I paid the artist for the designs, but I don't physically hold stock of t-shirts. They're just printed as and when orders come through.
Kind of similar to like a dropship
situation. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's a safer option for me because I'm not sat with dead stuff.
No, and the thing is, for you to facilitate, if you were going to go down that route, you've got to order 10 of every size. You'll find that the large will probably sell out far quicker than the smalls and mediums. And 2 years down the line, you're going to be sat there with 10 small t-shirts
that
nobody's bought. So you are far better off. Because I've looked at doing it for this. And yeah, it was a case of, I think it would be easier just for someone to tell me what they want in what size. And then I just order that and have that made.
What we are going to do as well is go to a pre-order system now. So rather than the designs go up and people can willy-nilly buy them.
Yeah.
As like about the only business mind I'll ever get is if you give someone a time frame where they can only buy it, they're more likely to buy it than just sit there and go,
create a sense of urgency. Oh,
yeah, I'll buy that one day. Buy that one day. If you give them a time frame, it's, well, if I buy it, if I don't buy that now, it's gone. But what it'll be is now is the promotion of the t-shirt or the jumper or whatever it'll be will be done like 2 weeks before the drop. And then when it goes up for when it goes up for pre-order, it'll be the t-shirt and the matching sticker, or the jumper and the matching sticker, just to give people that little bit more.
Yeah.
And
then from your point of view, you know how many to put in.
Yeah, exactly.
So
you can then
use that if you do that a few times, and then work out your data analysis. You can then work out, okay, then I can start holding, obviously, when there's a bit of money behind you. As you say, if your larges sell out quite quick, you know you can hold a stock list of a couple of extra larges.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's just by using those pre-order systems, you've got your now little spreadsheet of sales data.
Yeah, that's it. It's a safer way of doing it rather than just...
It's because you're ahead of the game and you know where you are.
Yeah.
You're not sitting on dead money.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're not doing... reduce stock and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, like, them flannel shirts go up to a 5XL, and it's like...
Still not big enough.
No, such a bitch. Yeah. To be fair, that was going to be my forthcoming question was, do you do big boy size? I do want a flannel.
Yeah.
Yes, you get shirts. Two. Cut one down the side, stitch it together.
I'm going to cut you down.
You need to get a pair of curtains.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, the flannel shirts flannel got to a 5XL. So they're a big shirt, but...
I know the hardest thing I found was knowing what the quality of the shirts were going to be before you start ordering them. So I know that you said you ordered one in, you've checked it over, make sure the quality is good. It's reassuring to hear, and I'm sure everybody that's listening will think exactly the same thing. You haven't just gone, we'll drop ship off of this site and,
just make the t-shirts. Yeah, that's it. So, like, when everything gets ordered, it all comes to me. I check the quality of it. If I'm not happy with it, it's not going out. I'm not out to rob people. Like, if I'm not going to wear it myself, I'm not going to send it to someone.
Do you use an online service or is it a local company? Yeah.
No, it's online at the moment, but there is a local company that's getting involved with it.
Because yours are actually screen printed as opposed to being heat transfer or anything like that. It's just a much better quality.
Yeah, it is.
You can see it on your t-shirt now. It looks far more professional. Mm. Far more professional.
Yeah,
and it reassures people when it turns up and it looks the way it does. They know it's going to last.
Have you got your own tags?
No, I haven't. Not yet.
It's a little bit extra money.
It's a hard one because as much as it'd make it look cool, it's then...
It'd drive the price up. That's the problem.
Yeah, because you're not just buying one tag for a t-shirt. You're buying like 200 tags that then...
All
amounts. That's the main problem to get across to people is why you price stuff the way you do.
Yeah.
And it's not like, it's not just I whack a design on a t-shirt and then it's done. Like I pay someone to sit there and draw a design that I want because I haven't got the time to sit there and do it myself. And then it's the people that print my t-shirts and then it's the packaging. Like everything adds up. Like I'm not making millions of pounds. That's why I wouldn't be going to work every day.
It's the thing, is it? It's what people don't understand about the businesses. There's two profits. There's gross profit and net profit.
Yeah.
And it's stuff like that, and people just don't get it. They just see, a website, they see their product, and they think, oh, that's that.
Yeah.
It's just so many people are blinded to what the actual processes are, and it can be a struggle, but I think you're doing really well with it.
No, thank you.
And your social media presence is brilliant.
Yeah, that's really hard.
You've got that sussed. I mean, I can sympathise with you. It is really, really hard because it's not just a case of doing your post.
Yeah.
You have got to be every other day, bare minimum, once every 3 days, a post that is worth posting. And I'm as guilty as other people. I don't do it enough. My TikTok account, although it's doing okay, I don't post enough content on there to make it go large.
We live in a world now that if you're not being relevant, you're forgotten.
Yes, 100%.
And you've got to do it, and it's just one of those. We notice at Preppers, if we miss a day of social media, we can see it just dips slightly.
Yeah,
drops and off. It's just because you're not just being relevant. I mean, it could literally just be the most stupidest thing, or just a picture.
Yeah, it just keeps you up there.
Yeah, and they're just like, oh god, yeah, it's that. So
I mean, the hardest thing is getting content out there that won't get you shadow banned by Instagram.
Oh my lord, it's so
like the amount of times I've had to wipe the Goon Club page to start again because
I'm stuck in
the guns, and it's like
and that's the tough thing, isn't it? It's almost as you're saying earlier with like your designs, you kind of got to think outside the box.
Yeah.
So yeah, obviously you can't put airsoft stuff in it because everything gets flagged up.
Yeah.
I got flagged up the other day for our airsoft and chill logo, and I had to appeal a decision on that. Had nothing
just because it had airsoft.
Yeah, on the actual picture, and I had to appeal that. So it's now finding
the word airsoft.
Airsoft is now Shadow Band. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
The word. I got the K9 unit t-shirt when I posted that. That got removed because the design's got a gun on it. And it was like, well, like, you can clearly see. And it got removed because they reported me for trying to sell firearms. That's why it was
removed. It's their AI algorithm. It's just awful.
Because I put the t-shirt up and put how much it was and the sizes and where you could get it from. They flagged it up and put that I was trying to sell firearms.
Yeah. Well, I had that for, that was me being stupid though, for the max. I put 4x max and it was like, you're selling firearms. It's like, box. yeah, it's a weird one because you kind of have to not put terms into the box.
Yeah.
But then if you've got a video, you've got a picture, it's just, Instagram's ruined it for everyone.
It's not just Instagram though, is it? Facebook's terrible. Obviously, it's all Meta.
It's the same thing.
I would say, pretty much, if it's not every post, it's every other post I put up at the minute.
Yeah.
It's getting taken down and I have to appeal it. And obviously, when you appeal it, it then goes to a proper person rather than the AI. Yeah. They then reinstate the post. But if I've then shared that from my personal profile, the strike that I get against Outlaw and my personal profile, they remove it off of Outlaw, but my personal profile now, I'm on one last strike, that's it.
Because
they don't remove it from there.
Yeah, it's just... And for the likes of yourselves, you're using social media to promote your businesses, and now you can't.
Yeah, that's it.
The kicker of it is that you look in terms and conditions of both Instagram and Facebook. If you go through Meta's terms and conditions, it says if you are a registered business... as long as you're a registered business and you are applying or you're complying to all the appropriate laws in your country, then you're perfectly acceptable to do that.
Yeah.
And yet they still keep knocking the post down and putting infractions on the accounts.
Yeah.
So not even abiding by their own rules.
No, they're not.
But the fact that you got it for a t-shirt and you got it for a logo is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's daft.
Because I can go on there, I've got videos on mine of me in America on a range shooting machine guns and no problem.
Yeah, it's silly. My account originally was last year before they changed everything. It was actually a business account as well. Now I've got that other account. It's not a personal account. It's the one up from that.
Oh, well, like an influencer style account. That's what you are. If you run an influencer, you wouldn't have paraded around in a thong and a ring. I'm sorry, but that is chief influencer material.
Things you do for life.
Yeah. Didn't get that many. It's annoying.
No, but we've left a legacy, guy.
So. It's just silly, isn't it? It's just, but like, for the likes of yourselves, as I said, you've got your business accounts. You should be able to share links to sales and stuff like that, and you're getting flagged up. But anyway, we digress. I actually have a question from one of our listeners.
Yeah.
He's a short, skinny, little Geordie boy.
Okay, yeah.
He's finished now. He says...
I thought you said he was finished. I thought you were going to top him.
No, he's finished.
His career is ended.
Yeah, well, he's gone to Finland.
Finished. That was where the confusion came.
Yeah. Obviously, everyone has that feeling of this isn't good enough when making a product, but what got you past that? What launch were you like, they're going to love this? Obviously, this is your products.
The K9 unit.
Yeah.
A lot of time went into getting that design right. Like I said, it went from my idea of the retro mascots to like looking through what people were buying, what people were wearing, and then to move away from that and go to the K9 unit.
Yeah.
That was like when I knew that was kind of the sweet spot. And then when it went up for sale and it blew off.
Yeah.
It's still my best seller now. That was when I sort of knew I was doing something right.
Yeah.
And it kind of went from, I'm going to try and sell a t-shirt to, okay, yeah, now I've got to run a business.
Yeah.
And that was like, I wouldn't say it was overnight, but it was probably like within a week it went from being something sort of just messing around, to something where it was like, okay, yeah, this is, people are going to expect this now, so this is what I've got to do. But yeah, it's that was definitely the one where
that was your Alan Sugar moment.
Yeah,
that was the.
I've got to admit, first time I saw that design posted up, I have a habit of just because
so like much things you're not purchasing off local businesses. What is your name?
I buy enough crackers, right? I have a nasty habit on social media is I'll just scroll through and like stuff. And
yeah.
I see it, especially if it's somebody I know.
I was going to say, I've seen your social media, man.
I've seen our group chats. but very rarely when I'm scrolling through, I sort of look at something and go, no, I need to go back and have a proper look at it.
No, that's not very rarely. Again, we've seen you on
Instagram. Talking about airsoft content.
Yeah, because it's not there.
It's just
bums and nipples.
You're going to be out of BBs by the end of the year. It's supposed to be PG.
I didn't swear. Anatomically correct.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, that design when I saw it, I scrolled back and looked at it. That is dope.
Yeah,
I do like that.
Yeah, a lot of people went mad about that.
There was a lot because Dark Demise. They used to. They, at one point, they blew up.
They're gone now. No, they're gone now.
They kind of came in, hit the market, got all these ambassadors, and were giving out free T-shirts to all these people, and they were sold a load of stuff, and then poof, disappeared.
Yeah, so. It kind of worked out nicely for me. I don't know if they listen or whoever owns Dark Demise listens.
There's only two people.
So. Yeah, that sounds. Yeah, well, like Dark Demise helped me out by leaving. As they left, I sort of come in. My design trend sort of followed theirs. So where they obviously left and don't do business anymore, I sort of picked bits up. But I also think I got quite a bit of following because of like the Cornwall community. Obviously it's in massive letters on the logo and everything, I definitely promote where the brand started, not where I come from, because I'm not from Cornwall. But that's Airsoft didn't really start for me until I moved down here. Airsoft while I was back up country was just, I'd play once a month, that was it. Be a Sunday skirmish or I went away once a year for a milsim. Moved down here, I've been down here like just over 2 years now. First couple of months when I moved down, I was playing every weekend, like everywhere. And then it sort of just, I'm not trying to say I'm Airsoft famous because I'm not. It's nothing like that. It's just, it become less of a hobby and more of like, this is what I do.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah. And it definitely is. It sounds stupid to people because we're doing nothing but playing with toy guns. But there's so many different aspects to Airsoft. And I think there's a lot for Airsofters to learn about that. There's not just Sunday games, there's other stuff out there. And I think if you're going to call yourself an airsofter, I think you need to experience that. You need to do your Sunday games, there's nothing wrong with that, but try the other bits of airsoft, you don't have to just jump straight into milsim. Battle sims cater for everybody.
It's a nice crossover.
Battle sim, isn't it? But it takes away that bit of your Sunday mess around.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more structure, and then try a milsim. There's nothing. It's don't be worried about the other people that go to them.
We all got to start somewhere.
That's it. And they're a lot worse than for you for the money that they've spent on their kit. And so it is, won't worry about it.
Again, as you say, you could be a Sunday air softer. You could be doing all this, and you still got to try that Milsim. You still got to start from the bottom. So yeah. Again, it's you had to start the bottom for a Sunday airsoft. You started on your own.
That's it.
But it kind of ties in nicely. So obviously, you're saying it's a lifestyle. Obviously, in the States, again, it's just because they've got the real steel, it's a lifestyle over there.
Yeah.
They have all these opportunities to go out. They wear the nods, they train with the nods. JBG.
Yeah, now, JBG are perfect.
Yeah, it's they're just a different element.
Yeah.
Those boys, we'd spoken about this. When I found out they were going to be in Tier 1, I looked it up, I looked at the price, and there's no way it's worth that, no way. And at the last minute, I was like, I'm going to go. Mm. I was supposed to have been away, and we couldn't go, so I was like, stuff it, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And it wasn't what we were doing that blew me away. It kind of was, but it was just how good they were at what they do.
Yeah.
And they made it so that you could have had this most stupid person you know there with you, and they still would have learned something and walked away a better airsofter for it.
Yeah. And I think stuff like that, again, it becomes, if you're doing things like that, as you say, it's becoming your lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing, you're not going to throw however much it is for the course just for a willy-nilly.
No.
You're doing it because you want to better yourself. You're doing it because other people are doing it as well. And it's new people. I mean, I thought it was going to be all Cornish people.
Southampton.
Yeah,
the only Cornish people was you and Harry. Yeah. I think a couple of other lads, sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just...
It's a testament to them, though, that how good they are, that people will travel halfway across the country to Cornwall Southampton to attend that.
At 4 in the morning or whatever it was. I've done one.
So and they opened and know what my feelings were towards the JVG courses before I went. Like me personally, I thought it was really sad.
Before you went?
That's before I went. So then I put my difference aside with them. I spoke to them. They were really sound lads. I was like, right, okay, I'll book on and I'll go and I'll see what it's like. I went with an open mind, and that's like the best thing that you can do. Just go with an open mind. As much as people say it's just airsoft, why are you doing that? Play a game against them kids after.
Yeah.
Like, you take your Sunday skirmish lads and put them against lads that have just come off a JVG course. And, like, that's why you go and do that stuff. And they've got that market on lock. Like, I know since JVG have been going, there's a couple of other, like, little teams or whatever they are, popping up trying to do the same thing. Stick with JVG. Don't waste your money on someone else that's trying to do it, because as much as they might say they got the experience and that, they haven't got the experience with the people like JVG have.
Yeah, because they've only really been going for two and a bit years.
Yeah, not long at all, really.
And it's the fact that so obviously we were in the amateur group. Yeah. So I went
foundation.
Up to
Foundation. We're not amateurs. Sorry. We're foundations.
Yeah, always foundations.
Younglings.
Key skills.
Key skills group.
Josh asked me to come help out basically because we weren't sure what the hell was going on. So I basically halfway through the day I had a vest on listening, but JBG Josh was like, when he spoke to us and before we went in, he went, oh, I've been airsofting for years. So he's been taking what he learned in airsoft back to him in the army. And then his army skills is obviously presenting through JVG. So he's just like, I can prevent most things and he'll teach us how to.
Yeah.
And I think that's the good thing about JVG is they're also airsofters.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not military trying to teach airsofters.
Yeah.
They're airsoft military. Yeah, and they understand. They get us. They get our mindset.
It makes that whole crossover just that little bit sweeter and yeah. bring in that real steel aspect into Airsoft,
yeah.
which there isn't a lot of at all.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to do courses. JBG have got the CQB courses on lock, which, yeah. like, no one... It's pointless trying. You're not going to make it any better than what they're doing at the minute.
No.
The only thing that I've thought about doing is night training, but then that's very specific to certain people.
Yeah.
Because as much as we could stand in the dark and shine torches at targets, you could do that at tier one.
Yeah.
I've been toying with the idea of doing night vision courses, which I think would be really cool, but it's just trying to find the people that would be interested in it, because as much as it is getting cheaper,
you still have to have a decent number to make yeah. that worth your time,
yeah.
side time, and things like that.
And as cheap as those units are, they're still a luxury unit.
Yeah, that's it.
So there's only a certain amount of people that can... Because, I mean, if you were to run a night vision course, if you've got someone turning up with this kit, and then you've got someone turning up with, like... And I'm not bagging on it, but your monocular.
Yeah.
That's two very, very, very different types of yeah. night vision, which exactly. one course is not going to cover both of those.
Yeah, that's yeah. the hardest thing.
So, and it's, yeah, it's, I don't know, I there's potential of them, I don't know if I can say it really.
Yeah, I think you probably can, because they did put a post out.
They did, yes. Yeah. So there's potential of them coming to Badlands, because we talked about it yeah. heavily, and it was like car drills.
Yes, yeah.
Vehicle
inspections, how to get out, kind of stuff like that. I'm 100% booking on.
Oh, yeah.
I'm lucky enough to, obviously, as I say, so Josh pulled me into Marshall and I got to sort of listen and sort of jump in where I wanted to. But it was just sort of, that was enough for me to realise, I am shit.
Yeah.
And it was just
a humbling experience.
It was, yeah. It's like, it was just sort of, yeah, like, just different things. And as I say, like, I'm just so used to skirmishing, holding my rifle down like that, and it's the holding it up like that and then snapping in,
yeah,
is like my arms are just like, like fucking T-Rex arms, that's a TV, like afterwards. So it's little things like that
it's
that makes you think,
yeah,
and I need to be better.
Yeah, but the thing is that you don't need to be somebody who's clueless going in there. I mean,
no.
You saw when they were doing the pistol drills, you know, I stood in front of you and they were saying, draw your pistol and push it out. And he came over to me and he was kind of like, he'd watched me draw the pistol and was like, you've done this before. And I was like, yeah, I've shot practical pistol. And he's like, right, okay. And then when I went around and breached the doorway with the pistol,
yeah,
he was like, everything you just did was perfect. He said, I need to critique you on something. So yeah. as you come through that doorway, glance in that corner, you've already covered it. You don't need to properly look in there, just glance and move on. But he was kind of like, what was your reasoning for coming on the course? And I was like, it was more just to reaffirm what I do when I'm shooting practical pistol or something like that is what you guys are doing, and it's what I should be doing.
Yeah. You're marrying your two.
You're marrying the two things yeah. together. You're coming from real steel and going over to airsoft, and you know, is my pistol draw right? Am I doing the right thing? And I took a lot away from that course that I didn't think I was going to. But the biggest thing that I thought was good about it, when we ran the drills, and then he stopped at the end and critiqued us. Because we could go in there as a team and run drills all day long, but unless there's somebody there watching us who yeah. can go, not necessarily you did that wrong, but you should have done this maybe, yeah. and you need that critical pair of eyes watching
yeah.
you,
yeah,
and
yeah.
they do that so well.
It was more the fact of, like, it was asking your reasoning behind something.
Yeah.
Like, why have you done that? Instead of...
Why is your rig loaded out the way it is?
Yeah.
yeah.
Why are
yeah.
your mags the way around that they are?
Yeah.
You know, why are you wearing a gun?
Why are you the way that you are?
Yeah.
they're very open to criticism as well. So, I weren't overly keen on the idea. But Harry spoke me into it. and we went. It was a mint weekend. Done the course, and like the only criticism that I had wasn't even with them or the course. It was more. They had a couple of people there that seemed like they were just there because it was JBG, and they didn't really seem interested in learning.
They came for the hashtags.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And it was like, because when I went, I was on the foundation because it was my first time with them. And I've only done the one. I probably will do more if they do the Badlands one. I'll be on that.
Mm.
But yeah, literally, my only criticism weren't even about the course, it was just a couple of
people that you felt sort of
let
it down.
It's like we're trying to learn, and they're busy like taking photos of each other and stuff. And it's like,
it's
distracting.
Yeah, and messing with other people's kit as well, that winds me up.
That is a quick way to lose teeth.
They were so respectful of everything. Like they would like see our stuff on the table, and they're like, "Do you mind if I pick this up?" And I'm just like, go through my stuff. Just if you want to pick it up, if you want to use it, just use it.
I don't mind.
As embarrassing as it is, mate, I stacked it. Properly stacked it as well, didn't I? I literally almost went for a fucking
walk. Didn't witness this. Right. What happened is we got absolutely cooked at the end because they put.
Me and you were the only ones still fighting.
They basically put foundation versus bloody BTEC science.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
And we got absolutely cooked within the first corner, and then we went back in, like we went out because Charlie was just like, "Let's go out and have a breather," because he was just like, "What the hell has happened?" And the next minute, he's like, "I fell over." What I think happened is he got embarrassed. He got his ass whooped. And he was like, "I fell over. No one's seen it."
Matt saw it.
Matt wasn't even there.
Yes, he was. Matt was outside watching it. We were getting our ass absolutely, as he said, cooked. And I think what it was just a massive breakdown in communication. Once it started going to buggery, it all just fell apart.
I was the commander.
And we were like stacked up on this doorway, and I'm like, "Kai, where is everyone?" And we turn around and everyone stood there behind us with their hands up. So I was like, someone had obviously come around behind us. So I've gone back round the corner, grenaded round the corner, and an old boy's gone, "Finally, here."
Yeah.
I've then gone to charge through, and as I've come through, I've kind of clipped the doorway as I've come through, and my foot went over and I went down there. And I just put the gun up, put my hand down. Josh said it sounded like I was coming through the wall. He said, "You know what it sounded like?" He said, "You know, if you hear someone chuck luggage off a plane, it's the deck."
Yeah.
Boom! And he said, "That's what it sounded like." I said, "I thought you were coming through the wall." So I've got up, and all of a sudden, my wrist has just started hurting, my knees hurting. I was like, "This is not good." My ankle is already shot. And I come out, and a couple of them have kind of noticed that I was just kitting off. I was like, "I'm done now," like, you know. To their credit, every single one of them was like, "Are you okay? Do you need anything?" Yeah. And I was just like, "Guys, just go back in. I'm just being a girl." It's basically it, like, you know.
It was tough.
I mean, but it was worth it.
Yeah. Again, it's the tough aspect in my opinion is, I said it in there. I said we don't know each other. And that's the hard thing. We don't know how we will talk. We've got different ages. You've got different levels of confidence. You've got things like this. Like from my point of view, and from your point of view, we always step back because that's the marshal in us to let other people lead. Because it's just like, they're here to have, I don't know, always in my mind, they're here to have a better time.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you don't necessarily always lead and things like that. So I said to him, I said, it's certain things, I think, it's just other people prevail and other people don't because they don't know everyone. And I think if it was our own team or people we all knew in the community, it would be so much easier. I think it would be a better fair fight type thing on those end rounds. But
Without a shadow of a doubt, if it had been me, you, Si, Josh and Paul or Bailey or someone like that, if it had been us as a 5-man team, I don't think there would have been the issues that there were because we all do work together and we know.
Yeah, you kind of.
It'll be the same for you.
Yeah, you know what you're expecting yourself.
And it's, again, I know it's always that thing that they kept saying through the course, like, if no one's going to do anything, just go for it. And it's like, but then it's like, that first round, I really don't know what happened. I was like one up, and you come one up, and I was just like, don't go too far forward. And two of the team have gone.
Yeah.
Where the hell are they gone? And I'm like, come back, come back, come back. I've got gum shielding as well. So it's like, come back, come back.
Yeah.
And then Lad got hit behind. So I'm like, Brett, turn around. And next minute, the other two have gone round and just gone pat, pat. I was like, okay then, that's that.
It's like that when we did that first bit of breaching, where he put the tripwire in across the door. And
yeah.
I was thinking,
I
was
in the photo of that.
There was, obviously, I was commander on that one. So yeah. I've tapped him on the shoulders, and now I'm going to the other side of the doorway, and then the first two have gone through, and before I had a chance to come through, the fourth one's just ran through, and I'm like, whoa, where are you going, kind of thing. So as I've then gone in the room, they're all stood there with their hand up, because they've all kind of, there was a guy tucked around the corner, and he was just popping everybody off as they come around the corner, and I'm kind of stood there, and I know you were behind me, and I was like, and yeah. I looked at Josh, didn't I, and I was just like, stuff it.
Yeah.
Just bolted across and managed to get him. And they said then, sometimes you just have to be aggressive and take that initiative. Okay,
yeah.
I known at the time that I could have used my grenade, I would have just blown his eardrums out.
Yeah.
But it's, you know.
It's a tough one. And again, it's just down to people. And I think a lot of it as well is nerves. You've got to think there's a lot racing in. And as Lewis said, it's a taster. If I could have you here,
6 months.
6 months. And yeah, all of that would be ironed up.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that just like, they've just been told, like, pair up, this, 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 and this. And they're like, deer in the headlights type of thing. And they're all like scattering around.
I felt so much more comfortable when it was me and you running drills together when they paired us up.
Exactly.
Than I did when I got paired up with the other guy that I'd spoken to for about 30 seconds.
Exactly.
Because I know you and I know what you're doing and I know that you. I've got a fair idea of what I'm about
yeah,
to do. If
exactly.
I'm about to do something stupid, you're like, okay, I'm just going to let him get on with it, kind of thing.
And then when Josh ran in and came in, on the, was it the second one? He's like, I got to get out of this because there's too much going on. There's too many
yeah.
people. I'm trying to communicate. And Josh is like, no one's listening
no one's
to you.
Listening.
And it's just like, Josh is like, I'm listening to you. And we're trying to do this. And like, it's tough again because it's two people that know each other, three people that don't.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, they're then running off. And then it's like boom, 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 and they're all getting picked off, and they're all getting picked off. So,
but if this, that one where it was just me and you left, we just kind of looked at each other and was like, everyone else has got it, just us two. And
yeah.
I just said to him that you just stay here and watch that doorway. I'll
yeah.
go back and sort that out.
That's it. I think like that. That was my only issue with it was, I went there not really keen on the idea of it.
It sounds
but
like
then,
you went in. In exactly the same situation I went in.
Yeah, I went.
You kind of went because.
Yeah, just to see what
yeah.
what it was
see
like.
What the hype was
about. Like Harry wouldn't show up telling me about it, and it was like, I'll go just to shut him up. But yeah, went and it turned out all right, and literally it was just a couple of other people on the course that the same as your experience. Like they either didn't listen or didn't want to listen.
Yeah.
They knew each other.
And
they
it
just
makes
went
it
off.
So hard when you
yeah.
when you want to actually crack on and you want to learn something, it makes it so much harder.
And that's the airsoft element.
Yeah, literally.
And that is it. The airsoft element. And it was pointing out all the way through, and it was just, you just naturally run off, run and gun off, and it
yeah.
kept happening in ours, and it's and that's the thing. If it was, I always use America as the other side of the pond, it's just it's different. It's training for real over there.
Yeah, that's it.
It's, it is literally, it is life or death over there. Whereas over here, it's just an added element to the lifestyle.
But there's no reason why, like I play like this, and it'll sound bad to people because it's airsoft, but I'm not bothered.
We've said words.
So yeah.
Whatever it is.
So like,
we've said words.
Like the training, when I'm playing mill sims, stuff like that. Don't treat it as airsoft. Because I won't be as aggressive and I won't do the stuff properly that I should be doing.
Mm.
Just treat it as real as you can make it in your head. If you can make it in your head that this is real, you perform so much better
yeah.
than what you would where it's just, this is airsoft.
Yeah.
Like the courses, there's too many people that go to them and treat it as airsoft. They're teaching you real steel tactics.
Yeah.
Treat it as real steel.
Yeah.
Listen to the bloke that's in control of you.
Yeah.
And just crack on, work as a team, whether you know each other or not. And it's exactly the same as what we do for milsims, because 90% of the time, you'll go to a milsim, you'll end up with people that don't know you and you don't know them.
Mm.
But you've just got to work together, else you're not going to accomplish anything.
Yeah.
And then your 120 quid that you spent for that weekend, you might as well have just gone down the pub.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird way of looking at it, because yes, it's only airsoft, but if you want to achieve something and be like that aggressive player and learn new stuff, don't treat it as airsoft.
It's almost akin to turning up, taking driving lessons and treating it as if you're going to the go-kart track, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're not going to take it seriously, you're not going to pass your test. Yeah. It's as simple as that.
And I think that's the aspect, that's the different side, isn't it? The airsoft is the milsim.
Yeah.
Is just obviously, it's military simulation.
Yeah. It's not airsoft.
Yeah, it's not a skirmish. So the JBG skills that you learn can transpire to there more effectively. Yeah. I'm not saying they're not going to be as effective in a skirmish, because you'll still, it'll be in the back of your mind and you'll be going into those doors to attack the crack. Yeah. We'll always stick with it. Yeah. They will transpire, but they'll transpire a lot better in your milsim.
I think, do you know, I did sit down and think about this afterwards as well, because if I was to pay and go to a milsim, you kind of expect everybody at that milsim, because anybody that realistically goes to milsim goes for that exact reason.
Yeah.
They're not going to play airsoft, they're going for a military simulation game. Yeah. You can kind of almost know in the back of your mind that you could go as a 5-man team, you could properly practice and you could breach doorways the way we were taught to and everything else, and it would work there because everybody's doing the same thing.
Yes.
However, Tier 1, you try running as a 5-man team and they're on a normal skirmish night and you are going to get slaughtered.
Yeah,
by a 12-year-old with a rental.
Yeah.
And that's where there needs to be that, like you said, you've got to have it in your head that when you're training for stuff like that, when you're doing that kind of training, you're not doing it for a normal airsoft day. Yes, you will take stuff away from it.
Yeah.
But you're not doing it to play airsoft normally. I would say the vast majority of people that are doing that training course are going to be going to milsims and part of a group.
Yeah.
I've seen like 5 lads rock up who are in the military, like massive thick plates, like the big heavy duty plates, everything, full kitted, belts, mags,
the business.
And they're walking in like absolutely obliterated, the next round stripped off, everything, plates out, belts off, one gun, one mag. They're like, what the hell, dripping with sweat, shirts off, everything. They're like, we've just been absolutely obliterated. And that's the thing, it's the skills are there, but it's how you use them to your scenario.
It's knowing when to use them as well.
Yeah, it's adaptation.
You imagine our foundation team, I reckon, give Bailey on his own. Because considering how fast he is,
he'd pick him off.
He would come round and absolutely, he would have, on his own, would have annihilated our.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Chad Bailey. But it's the thing, like, it's.
It's a different style of gameplay.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't necessarily say it's just tier one. I think you could have put him in.
Oh, yeah.
In a skirmish CQB, and it's a bit different. But obviously, as you say, if you go through the milsim aspect, everyone, even if you're on Op 4, if you're on NATO, it's a different mindset.
Yeah.
You're not going in right, like speed softing.
Yeah. 100% made me think different, because I've always been, I've always said I'll never go to a milsim, it's not my cup of tea. But after doing that course, I've come off the back of it and thought, actually,
I want up here.
I want to give it a go.
I loved it that much, I've joined the military. I'll be home for Christmas.
Kai's going to be the UK Army's poster boy now.
I keep looking at that civil nuclear police. There's a poster went up in Shrewsbury or something. Anyway, I joined the SAS.
Of course you
did. I text him.
That is so funny. So when I'd done the JBG course, we played at Dorchester Prison the day after. And that's all I was walking around saying. I was like, done a JBG course, I'm basically SAS now. Yeah. Like, and it was the worst thing ever. But I don't take it serious. What's the point?
So someone out there though is probably taking that seriously.
Yeah.
Like, if I do the JB,
no.
No RJ. No RJ. That's not how it works, mate.
He's just a special service, isn't he?
I cannot be heard to be laughing about that. RJ is my friend.
So did you, because they came to TPA on the next day on Sunday, did you play with them?
No, I didn't.
That sounds really weird.
Did you play with them? No, so
you tried them out, Colin.
I only actually play like once a month now. My deal at the minute is I play once a month.
I think that's fair.
Why is that? What's happened? So Jake's had a baby.
Children happen.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah, right? I had a little girl. So.
How was the birth? What was your labour like?
Yes, how was your labour?
I stayed up the good end.
you didn't look.
Define the good end, because there's going to be different opinions of where that is.
It's like watching your favourite pub burn down.
Exactly.
I just didn't want to. I just stayed out the way.
My first one, I didn't look. My wife ended up, so we had a water bath, but because the labour went on for too long, we had to have like these, I called it a magical futon. It was like different bits of sofas that like mushed together.
Yeah.
And it split basically, it's a little gap, and a bit of, I don't know what it was, I'll just keep calling it Kelly Guts, fell down the gap, and none of the nurses cleaned it up, and I had a brand new pair of Vans on, still got them as well, and I trod in it. I didn't know I trod in it, and I left the birthing unit in Trelisk to go for a wee, and when I come back, I was like,
the centre across the floor.
Exactly.
Oh, my face.
Exactly. So, and then I was just like, some dirty bastards, BB. As water, bloody placenta or something, blood all around the ward. And then I was like, as I was getting closer, they look like waffle prints.
Oh man.
It's like a brand new pair of Vans. And you could see it all mushed in. And it stayed there for ages. In the end, it looked like bloody a trodden chewing gum.
But so most people would have gone home and cleaned the shoes. Not quite, yeah.
Nah, leave them.
And I've still got them.
It's a Danny War story.
Yeah. Then it wore them the second time. For the second bar.
But yeah, it's a weird experience, isn't it? Like,
it's the single most frightening but coolest thing
ever. Yeah, to be there, so like for it. So they had to turn the babby because the babby had turned over.
Breach.
Is it right way down but wrong way?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's what happens.
And the last thing I remember is like the doctor bloke come in. He was like reading all this paperwork and that, and he was like, yeah, like in worst case scenario or whatever, we'll try and save at least one of their lives. So I'm sat there like,
beg your pardon,
what's going on again?
Oh my god,
wow.
And that's the only thing from that whole day that stuck in my head was like, right, so the baby's out now, the baby's fine, is Beck gonna die?
Yeah,
like, yeah. But yeah, everything was sound, and then we've lived in a country, I've never bothered driving because I didn't need to. So like we had the baby and we're like, oh, you gotta go home now. I was like, it's 10 to 12 on the night time. I like rang my dad, I had to wake my dad up. I was like, need picking up because I can't stay. Like they're like, yeah, she's had the baby now, you gotta go home. I was like, sound.
It's
little things like that you don't think about, I suppose, isn't it?
No, that was it. It was kind of like, oh, are we going to get put in like our own little room now because of the baby?
And no,
she is.
Yeah. Whacked her on a ward. They put her in like some ward thing, and then was it the next day or the day after that? Bal and Harry had their little girl. And they ended up on the same ward with Beck. So, like, when I went there, it was fine because she had someone to talk to. I was like, yeah, that's cool. So, I didn't have to rush about so much going, getting down there first thing. But, yeah, I only play really once a month now. I just focus on Sterling Milson.
Yeah, so, that's fair enough.
I suppose the thing, when you sort of down to only playing once a month and just getting D Milson, I suppose it's more quality over quantity then, isn't it? That's what you're focusing on.
Yeah, that's it. Like I've got the kit to do it. But especially with them, it takes from stopping them playing at like 8, 9 o'clock because it's gone dark now, to I'll pay me 120 quid and I can play until I want to go to bed then. And there's no better Milsim team out there, or Milsim company, than Stirling Airsoft. Like, if anyone ever wants to...
What's the one we're looking at doing at the end of the year? Is that Stirling?
Cope Hill.
Oh, that's BrickTac. BrickTac's a good company. Cope Hill, definitely for an airsoft player, you've got to play Cope Hill at least once in your life.
Yeah.
That's my most favourite side. But I think that's more the site than the company.
Yeah.
I think anyone could put a game on there and I'd enjoy it just because of the site. I mean, you played there before anyway.
No, I've not done it.
No, I've not done it. We keep talking about going away.
Don't go as NATO because, like...
It's funny that Al said exactly the same thing, then he's like, I'm not going as NATO, so I'm going as
Op4. Yeah, so like, literally, like, all the people that used to play NATO play as Op4 now because it's more fun.
Yeah.
You just run around and...
It's kind of like a little less
regulation.
I hate multicam and NTP. Disgusting.
It's everywhere, isn't it? I bought a full multicam setup just for England versus Scotland at the end of the year with Stirling.
Yeah.
Because England is multicam.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm literally just going to buy this. And it's just sat in the cupboard. Like, Bex is using it, taking photos of it and stuff like that.
Oh.
And it's like, it's just going to sit in the cupboard until I play that one game a year and then it'll go back in the cupboard again.
I've got some, but I got OCP because it's just like, I'm not wearing anything British. It's just hideous. So I got American OCP. And that comes out occasionally.
I had one pair of trousers and I wore them twice. And then I was like, nah, go back to jeans.
Oh.
I'm just... But I've said this to you before, and I know Paul knows as well. When I go to play comfortable. I'm not there to.
Yeah.
So there's multiple pictures of me running around in Badlands, literally in a hoodie, jeans, and a pair of skate shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like the least inconspicuous person ever. But
yeah, like I stopped wearing boots. I wear MTEs now.
Yeah.
Because they're comfy.
But are they as comfy as these?
No, they are nice though, aren't
they? They're my new airsoft boot.
He was wearing them running around tier one with JDG.
Yeah. one of the lads, because Harry pointed out, went, are you wearing cowboy boots? I was like, yes. And one of the lads that was training at Lakewood Alex at JDG was just like, oh my god. So it's like raveling them up. And he was like, you're running around in there. Like, yeah, man.
What the fuck is this? What's wrong with that?
It's like, we're different down here, my boy.
Yeah, it definitely is different down here, isn't it?
Oh, man. It's...
I like...
It's cabins. A culture shock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More so for you, because you've come down as a grown adult. I mean, I come down when I was 10, 11 years old.
Yeah, it's...
And it was like, I felt like I'd gone back to being 2 years old again. It's like so far behind everything else, but I'm really appreciative of that now.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I like wearing camos, but I sometimes it can be uncomfy though. I prefer wearing a U-back at the moment. But the time you put on like your camo shirt and everything and muck around and all that sort of stuff. So I'd rather just jeans and a U-back, that'll do.
There's too much multicam. I think everyone should jump on another camo so multicam becomes cool again.
I thought
that's what was going to happen when everybody started going over to like Tiger Stripe and stuff like that. Because everyone just went, Tiger Stripe! And I was like, that's going to make MTP come back in fashion again because nobody's going to wear it. So someone's going to wear it to be different and it'll be okay to wear it again. But no.
I think the problem is MTP is still current.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what you're picking up is Mark 1, Mark 2 stuff. And that's what surplus of requirement. And it's
so easy to pick up as well.
Exactly, yeah. Like, from our work aspect, there's just, you buy it by the pallet, and it's like 2 tons of MTP clothing. Yeah.
I might just go out and get some 95 spec stuff.
We got 95.
Yeah. Just because we don't really see anyone running it anymore.
95. I just picked up a 95 shirt, actually, because it's like £4.
I really want some Arscam.
I got some Arscam.
I do that.
I got naval Arscam, though. So it's grey.
It's cool.
Yeah.
At the shop?
No, it's mine. So we buy gear in, and then a lad was like, oh, I've got this. And I was just like, ah, oh, that's cool. So, yeah, I've got that. And what else have I got? TTS here, which is Ukrainian woodland before they went to DigiCam.
Oh, okay.
So it's like 2016. So it's like an adaptation of the Russian.
Yeah. I've got a Romanian camo parka sat in a basket on eBay.
Ooh.
I'm like, don't buy that because I don't see much of it. Harry's just bought a set of Irish DPM.
So Irish DPM is very, very hard to get hold of because this is genuine. So the Irish government basically have burned all of it.
Yeah.
So if you get it, it's basically off people. So they never surplus their stuff, so it never gets sold anywhere.
These are from Arctus, is it?
Oh, yeah.
They're ordering it through there, so it's not genuine issued stuff.
But it's still paddy flying.
Yeah. It's nice, but I think the more people wear that, I think that'll be the next Morty cam.
Yeah.
Just because of how horrible... Like, I wore a DPM... I wore a DPM field shirt a couple of weeks ago, and I sort of looked back at the photos, and I was like, it is disgusting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I can't... I'll wear that again.
Yeah, M81 Woodland seems to be doing the rounds at the moment.
Mm.
And what I've started to notice is, what's that really annoying website? Boohoo.
Boohoo
started to produce knockoff Tiger Stripe, knockoff M81, and that seems to be doing the rounds at the moment.
Yeah.
Because obviously when you go to a vintage store, sometimes vintage stores, because they buy by weight, will get some camouflage. And if it's not UCP, it'll be like M81. And another tangent off on camo. So when I first started at Preppers, our supplier was also supplying a French fashion company with American UCP ACU shirts, bags and stuff. And all they were doing is like making a little clip key ring of their logo, putting it on the zip, and that $4 shirt became like $900, and people were buying it. An ammo grab bag in that Digi UCP was $1,200.
That's crazy.
Because they put an attached logo thing.
Yeah.
It didn't. I don't think it caught on because we still got loads of UCP because it's disgusting. But it's as soon as these fashion houses get it, because obviously they see the vintage shops because it's usually the common ones that happen. Then people start to buy it. So M81, I've noticed, start to do the rounds a bit more. So we've started to sell that a little bit more than M81 Woodland.
I did see a picture of a woman the other day wearing the...
I bet you did. Was it on
your Instagram? Instagram account.
She had one of the long Swedish, the black, red and green.
Avantage.
Yeah. It was a trench coat.
Yeah.
With like a pair of jeans on and a top underneath. And I was like, all of a sudden now, this is like, that's going to become popular.
Yeah.
Well, Alpenflash did, because of admin results, and then American Pipe Dream.
Mm.
So, yeah, Alpenflash is
done. But you go on eBay now, and stuff that was on there for like 10 quid is now 70, 80 quid.
It's
really annoying. It's like DNC Parkers, a lot of 70 quid without the lining.
Yeah.
Well, it's half a coat.
Because
you open the pockets and your hands just go straight through it.
Because they're all over stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was all to throw over the top, which was the most ineffective camo.
Yeah.
They brought it out, and then within, I think it was like less than a year, the Russians created something to basically go, I can see you.
Yeah.
I can literally see you.
Talking of Russians, should we talk about some AKs? Just to wrap things up, we are in
there. Yeah.
We are in the realms of 2 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay. I've still got 17 more questions. What is your shoe size?
Come on, Kai.
Tell us what we have, Kai.
So, we've got an LCT.
AKMS.
AKMS, which it will be mine. Oh yes, it will be mine. I actually thought when you sent the picture.
You thought it was an RPK, didn't you?
Yeah, I got really excited. I didn't really look at it properly because it looked like the barrel looked the way the angle was.
A lot longer. Than
yeah, that. And then the way that looked underneath, I was like, it looked like the bipod legs. But I've seen these around. I've picked them up. I've always liked them. You had? Did you have an E&L?
Yeah, I didn't have the LCT. Yeah. E&L.
I mean, it's wood. It's metal. It's ticking boxes.
It's the fact that it is a proper steel receiver as well. Yeah. It's like,
I shouldn't have got rid of my Jingdong RPK. I regret that.
I've never.
Yes, I've had the. I just wanted to see.
Problem is, when I bring a gun in, usually Paul will take it, and the next thing you know, it's like I will buy that.
I've had one of these. I don't need to go back.
May I remind you, 6x50?
Yeah.
Okay. I only brought it in to show you, and you were like, "Is that for sale?"
Oh my god!
It wasn't, but it is now.
That was a quick one, though.
What about that really rare 417 as well? Is that still in your hands?
What, my Incentive Designs built one? Mm. Yeah, I've still got it.
Still in your hands.
Have you sorted out that EBI yet?
What? No, he hasn't. No.
No. He's not playing at the minute, is he? So.
I'll get there.
when he puts a cat back in the box.
Oh my god.
He's giving.
She's not back in the box, she's waiting at home.
It'll be her box later.
Uh huh.
I think that's a few BBs in there.
Yeah, that's definitely getting censored. Oh, no, the only downside to this is the grip. It just feels, I could crush that.
But they all feel like it.
I just tried that. That was exactly the same with the email.
Yeah. I like LCT. LCT is good. The other thing as well, I don't like slidey hops. And I feel like you could snap that if you push too hard.
Yeah, there is aftermarket hops. Obviously, there's aftermarket hops available. I'm going to keep this one. That's going to be the first thing I do, is change the hop over. They've both got upgraded barrels. It's got a mad bull in there. And this has just got, I don't know, I'm thinking it is a stainless steel barrel. But
the other downside to me for this is if you've got a glove on and you need to adjust that.
You're not going
to
be able to do that.
No.
It's real tricky. But the good thing with those hops is, I mean, I've played around them. They are quite stiff. I don't think they're going to run away with themselves.
Yeah. No, the Jingdong, just kept sliding. So you'd have a decent hop, and then you literally just go like that, and they all go.
They just wander.
Yeah. It'll start dribbling by the end.
I've never been an AK fan. Not really. And then sort of recently I've seen people running them and I thought, I've never owned one. Mm-hmm. And obviously you've got these two as part of that deal. And as soon as I put batteries in them and started running, I was like, okay, the fire rate's good, the range is good, it feels nice in the hand, it's not overly heavy, but it feels real or as close to it as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to beat a gun. I still want to do a NAM, no doubt. But I don't want, as much as I really want the A1, M16A1, I think an AK would be cooler.
Yeah.
As CIA special, get some Tiger Strike.
I don't think I've ever walked away from an airsoft game when I've used an AK and not had fun.
Yeah.
That seems to have been the thing that a lot of people have said. Yeah. And, yeah.
I don't know why it is about them, but
I've had loads of it's like the suppressors for them, obviously they're a very specific suppressor, aren't they?
Yeah.
I've looked at loads of stuff like that and I've had them come through and a couple of times I've thought, should I buy an AK and just kit it out? Mm. I've never, what's always put me off is the gearbox. I'm not a fan of the version 3 gearboxes. Mm. Not that there's anything wrong with those gearboxes, it's just the trigger assembly and they use like a double pin articulated trigger and they can be a little bit tricky to put back together again.
Yeah.
And I had a bad experience with one once before and it took me forever to get it back together again. I stripped one the other week and I had it back together in seconds. So I was like, oh, I don't know what, you know, all of a sudden it's like rolling cigarettes. You can't do it for ages and all of a sudden you roll a perfect one and it just clicks. But these come in and I think this might be the start of Sean will be very happy.
Okay.
Nasha will be very happy because, I don't think I'm...
You
can have the one out of this, mate.
It's not that down in there either.
No, it hasn't.
I've got a pistol grip at home, you can have it.
look at that. No, it's all going together.
Do you know what gets me with these? It's the price of them. I hadn't really ever looked, but the LCT AKs, they're not cheap.
No, they're not. No.
They're like massive money. And
is it the LCT RPK that was like a grand?
Oh, yeah, it was a huge amount. Yeah. It was like 800 quid or something.
But that recoiled, didn't it, as well?
Yeah. Is that what Nash has got? Because he's got an RPK.
Yeah, he did have it, sold it. It's back over here now.
Yeah, is it LCT? Didn't his dad buy off him?
No, I can't remember who bought it off him now. But he shipped it back over here, so.
Yeah, they do make some really nice stuff, to be fair. It was, their stand was smaller this year, but when I was over there last year, I was there for about an hour just going through all their stuff. They've got a nickel plated full AK-47, and everything's all proper wood, and it was proper nice.
Do you know one thing I can fully understand now, why people say when you're running one of these AKs, wear gloves? Because everything on here just wants to scratch you or bite you. Yeah. It's like, I've just got my hand up underneath there.
Double
like,
hands.
That's trying to like rub the skin off there. And like this bit there is taking the skin off my finger. I'm not even using the band.
Oh, Nasha doesn't have hands anymore. It's just a two-pound gloves. Just like
that. But no, I'm pleasantly surprised by the quality of these LCTs. It's not something I've ever really looked at before.
No, I've always liked them. And it was when we're talking about, because I wanted originally to make a Haley build on a 102, so I was going to with the TM. But it was just like, if you don't go for TM, go to LCT.
Yeah.
He said, if you don't want the recoil, go to LCT. He said, they're just as good. They're just as easy.
E&L are supposed to be pretty good as well, aren't they? I mean, they're the ones that I've felt. I don't know, it's been that long since I've held one. I couldn't say how good they are compared to an LCT. It'd be nice to have a pair of them here so we can...
To be fair, I had the E&L and it feels in the hand pretty much identical.
Yeah, that's what I figured it probably would.
The only thing, well, I don't know, it could have just been mine because I'm very good at patinaing shit over time.
Maybe in the jar.
It wears really nicely as well. You know, as it gets a little bit battle-worn.
Considering these two have been sat in a damp basement for 3 years, I don't actually think they're in that bad condition, considering the steel as well.
Yeah. I like the rust on it.
I did think that when I cleaned the... Like that one, I just used a bit of wire brush and stuff and took it off where it was... But there was only two very small batches of rust. That's got a little bit more on it. So I'm not that fussed, because I'm going to keep that. I want it to look worn. So buffing it off with a bit of sandpaper even will be fine.
Yeah.
I don't know what to use for a charging handle on that. I'm half tempted just to weld a bolt onto it or something, just so it looks obscene.
I just don't like the hop adjustment.
You're not a fan of you.
No, I'm heavy handed. I'll end up poking that and going, Brett.
I have seen those charging, charging handles, the bolt carriers, you can buy a heavy version of those, a steel heavy version, rather than that thin metal. It's about 40 quid. So, well.
Yeah, it's. AK stuff's just cheap, isn't it? Well, some of the stuff you can get for them is cool.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I went down a bit of a rabbit hole with it last night after getting those, and I was like, oh, I didn't realise half of this stuff was available. There's like a packer you can put in the mag well, so when you go to put the mag in, it doesn't go in too far, and you can just slap a mag in there.
Mm.
They're peanuts. Buy one of those. I got tons of mags with them.
One thing I wanted for my AKMS was... saw a picture online and it had the underbarrel grenade launcher on it. And oddly enough, mounted to the underfolder, it gives it that sort of front heavy look and it just looks shit off. And I wish I'd done it.
Live your dreams.
Do it. The underbarrel.
I'm going to wear that for sale as well. And I'm really cheap.
Oh, there you go. That's it.
Everything's cheap. It's not Yeah.
Well, there we go. LCT AK, Kai. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. Both of them, to be fair. I did it, much like everyone, it's always M4, and I'm just slowly coming around to the idea of AK.
Yeah.
It's just...
I had one in for repair, just about January, I think they brought it around. And that kind of, I think that started the ball rolling for me.
Mm.
I was like, actually, it's not a bad gun to work on. It's far easier to get to stuff. It doesn't take much to take it apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very cool.
Well, I guess are we wrapping up?
We can wrap up.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, thank you for coming on, Jake. Yeah.
No, thanks for having me.
I wish wish all the best with Goon Club.
No, thank you.
Yeah, be making a purchase soon. When it's payday next week.
Just in time. What patches? You
didn't yes. So.
Because.
I don't think they'll see it on the camera, but that is actually my patch.
I'll take some pictures of your.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, so that one. So I didn't want to. I'll just go on about it quick. I didn't want to make it massive. A lot of people do these patches where they're like chest size. Yeah. People are buying them for the pure purpose that they've got somewhere.
Yeah.
Or they're making space for them. Where mine, I just wanted them small enough that they go on a battery pack that you can whack them wherever you haven't got to lose your favourite patch, put someone else's on. But yeah, they're my patch. They're on the website for £6.
Bargain, is it? Yeah. That's bargain.
Cool.
Have we got links?
We've got links up, haven't we?
Yeah, but
yeah.
If you
want to
shout out your...
Yeah, so www.goonclubclothing.co.uk. On Instagram, it's the.goon.club. And then, yeah, my private Instagram's jake_gilbert_1996.
Cool. Fantastic.
Definitely.
I'm going to get shot.
It's small. I like the fact that it's small.
Yeah, that's
like,
it.
Come on, I've been
saying it. Unlike your ego.
All evening. thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah.
And remember, like, subscribe, thumbs up, and
five star reviews
and all of that.
Social medias.
Yeah.
Don't get banned or shadowed.
Yeah.
Both.
We'll speak to you in a couple of weeks.